Our scripture reading this evening comes from the sixth chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. That's Galatians chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 11 through 18. Galatians 6, verses 11 through 18. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. We are delighted to have preaching James Hudson Taylor IV, a new missionary added to our roster at this past missions conference. He will be traveling to Taiwan in September, where he will work with OMF. Currently, he is working with Chinese Church in Woburn. And James, we are delighted that you could be with us here this evening. Thank you.
Wonder if you've had the experience of ever going to the hospital to visit a friend or a relative shortly they have had an operation. And if you're anything like me, probably your first desire is to see the scar or the mark that has been left from the operation. And you probably will discreetly ask the friend or the relative to roll up their robe or somehow allow you to see the mark that was left upon their body from the surgeon's incision. And as time wears on, often we perhaps gather together to again look at that scar or that mark, or perhaps other scars and marks we might incur through accidents, other things, and we begin to tell stories about those marks and scars. And it's sort of like fishermen telling stories about fishing. The stories of how these scars and marks came about seem to get more and more extravagant, and the stories seem to get longer and longer, and the bravery that was told seems to be even of a greater degree. And oftentimes those marks and scars carry with them certain stories and memories. And in this very same way, Paul's marks and scars that he refers to here in the sixth chapter of Galatians refers to a story that we must first understand in order that we can apply Paul's teaching to our lives today. Paul says there in the 17th verse, as he closes this tremendous book to the Galatians, he says, "Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." In many ways, it's a summary to the entire book of Galatians. And in order for us to understand the meaning by which Paul refers to these marks of Jesus, I think it is important that we understand the context in which Paul was writing. If you're familiar with the book of Galatians, you would know that Paul is writing to a group of churches and a group of Christians that were in danger of following after a gospel which indeed was not the gospel at all. For there had been people that had gone into the churches and had sought to disrupt the faith and belief of these Christians. And Paul, in response to that whole emergency, penned this important letter. And it's interesting that he saw it as being such an urgent task that he did not even have a scribe to write this letter. And as we read this evening, he wrote it because of his poor eyesight. He wrote in such big characters that he could see himself. But yet, what was the very problem that was faced there in the churches of Galatia? And I think as we ponder that thought, we would indeed very quickly see the reason why Paul sought to enclose this final word of exhortation there at the last part of his sixth chapter. For the marks that Paul spoke of, the marks of Jesus, were very different from the marks that were being espoused by those false teachers there in the churches of Galatia. But what were those marks that the false teachers were espousing? If you are familiar with church history, especially as recorded in the book of Acts, very quickly within the confines of church history and the evangelism of then the Roman Empire, we found that there was a force operating within the church that sought to continue with Old Testament traditions and rituals and customs. And often these took their places within the New Testament church, and after a while they seemed to have lost their distinguishing mark in that the Old Testament traditions were followed just as closely as the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, for one, was very clear in wanting to make a marked difference between what was essential to salvation, what was the essential points of the Christian faith, and what were those which were often added on. And as Paul lifted up his pen to write this book of Galatians, he sought to warn the Christians of marks which were not essential to the Christian faith. And in contrast, he set forth the marks of Jesus, which indeed were essential. And so it is that Paul wrote to this group of Christians that were struggling. False teachers had come in, and as we are told in the book of Acts, some were espousing that you must obey and be obedient to the customs of Moses in the Old Testament in order that you might be saved. And there developed within the Galatian church a false idea that somehow, in addition to believing in Jesus Christ, other things were also necessary in order to obtain salvation. And so Paul wrote to counter that very heresy that began to tear apart the New Testament church. These people were espousing that along with believing in Christianity or in Jesus Christ, they also had to perform the rite of circumcision. It was an Old Testament rite which signified the covenant relationship between God and Abraham. And yet it seemed to have lost its particular mark and taken on a far more important mark than originally had intended, for God had only intended that the rite of circumcision be a mark of the covenant which was already established. But many had taken it as being the only avenue by which the covenant might be obtained. And so they went into the church in Galatia and said, look here, you have to be circumcised as well in order to obtain salvation. And so Paul wrote that no one should trouble him anymore, for he had upon him the mark of Jesus Christ. He had upon him the mark of Jesus, not the mark of circumcision. Perhaps in many ways today we live in a different day and age. Today perhaps the mark of circumcision is not as prevalently espoused within the church today. But I believe if we were to ponder and to think about what Paul was addressing and the principle that lay behind it, we would see very readily that even today in this world, the very principles that Paul was fighting against are very much evident all around us. These false teachers had placed an emphasis on outward actions. They had said that in addition to simply believing in Jesus Christ, somehow you had to perform certain outward acts in order to obtain your salvation. And my friends, today, I don't think there is much of a difference. And if we were to examine the world today, in the words of Martin Luther, I think we would find that there is a lot of active righteousness going on, that there is a lot of people that are desiring somehow by works and by means to obtain their righteousness. But let me just further enunciate and explain how we can see that so readily around us. Perhaps we might begin on the negative side. Often we hear in sharing the gospel with people that they say, hey, I'm not that bad of a person after all. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an adulteress. I have not committed arson. And therefore, because of the fact that I am not that bad, somehow I have gained God's favor. And somehow I have been able to achieve a certain status of righteousness before God. Or perhaps some would say, hey, look, I'm not perfect, but I'm certainly not as bad as the next person. And many times we hear all around us something of what Jesus told in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, when the Pharisee bowed his head and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other man. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even people like that tax collector. And often we see people comparing themselves to people that are far worse and say, that person is far worse than I, therefore I indeed can stand acceptable in the eyes of God. And I wonder if we have heard these comments. In fact, if that we have not been very guilty of them often ourselves. As we have looked at our own Christianity, our own faith, often we have sought to compare ourselves to others that are worse than us. And we have placed a great deal of emphasis on outward activities and outward signs, saying by these indeed God would be pleased. And yet these were the very marks that these false teachers were seeking to set forth there in the church of Galatia. But then turning from the negative and looking at the positive, perhaps we would see that, or we could hear all around us that I have done such and such a good thing. I have abide by certain rules and regulations and stipulations. I have done certain benevolent activities, therefore somehow I am gaining merit points with God. And then we turn our eyes into the church, and often we find that the case is very similar. And we hear around us that as long as I am going to church and as long as I have been baptized, that somehow I have gained admission into the kingdom of God and somehow I have been acceptable in God's sight. And yet Paul here reminds us that those are not the important things. Marks of morality will not get you into the kingdom of God. Marks of sincerity will not open the doors of heaven. Even marks of religiosity will not open up the gates of heaven. The marks of devotion, the marks of good work, none of these will find, if you trust these, you will find your way into heaven. And Paul responds by saying, these are not the marks that are important, but rather it is the mark of Jesus Christ. It is interesting to note that Paul, when he refers to the mark of Jesus or the mark of Christ, he is using a word in the original language that signifies a stamp of ownership on a person. The original word was stigmatos. The English word that we get from it is stigma. And Paul said, I had the stigmatos of Jesus upon my life. And what did he mean by that if it was not these outward signs that he sought to espouse? What did Paul mean when he said, I had the stigmatos, the sign, the marks of Jesus upon my life? If we were to study that word, we would find, as I just mentioned, that it is a reference to ownership. And the background from that word came from a ritual or an event that took place in that day and age. When a owner was to buy a slave, a servant, upon procuring that servant or that slave, he would immediately place his mark upon that person. And that mark would be there on that person as a sign of identification. That mark would indeed set this person apart and show others who this person belonged to. But not only was it in reference to slaves alone, for even soldiers of the Roman Empire had marks placed upon their body. For in that day and age, they feared traitors, or they feared people that would come in pretending that there were Roman officers or Roman soldiers and infiltrate the ranks and cause havoc within the ranks. And to prevent that, the Roman Empire, the Roman government would place marks upon the soldiers to identify them indeed as soldiers of Caesar. And we begin to see a picture of what Paul is speaking of here when he speaks of the marks of Jesus upon his body. For he was saying that Jesus Christ was his master. Jesus Christ was his owner. That he was a servant of Jesus Christ. And that he depended solely upon Jesus Christ for his relationship and not dependent upon any outward signs. But it's interesting to note how Paul refers to these marks, for he says, I have the marks of Jesus on my body. And if you were to look in the book of Galatians, you would find very quickly that Paul places a tremendous importance upon the cross of Jesus. And in many ways, I believe that Paul was referring to scars that he perhaps had obtained in ministry for the Master. If we were to turn to the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, we would find there a list of things which happened to Paul. That he was beaten on several occasions. That he was shipwrecked. I believe that these left upon the life and the body of Paul marks of Jesus Christ. But I think Paul meant more than that, in that he was saying that he depended on nothing else except the cross of Jesus Christ. And we get a picture of that, especially here in this last passage that we read, where Paul says, I boast in nothing except in the life or in the cross of Jesus Christ. But how do we see that fleshed out in the life of Paul? And I put before you four things that I believe are the marks of Jesus. We began this evening at looking at what were not the marks of Jesus. They are not external things. They are not going to church or even being baptized. They are not doing benevolent things, even though those are indeed important. But what did Paul refer to when he referred to the marks? We see certain characteristics of that mark and certain characteristics that Paul saw as important for the Lordship of Jesus Christ to be revealed in his life. First of all, we see that these marks were visible marks. Paul said, the Lordship of Jesus Christ is visible in my life because his marks are on my body. And if somebody was to look at the body of Paul, they would indeed see these marks very evident upon his body. And so we see, first of all, that the marks of Jesus Christ, the ownership of Jesus Christ, the mastership of Jesus Christ is something that was evident upon Paul's life. It was something that affected his life. It was something that took control of his life and guided his life. It was a visible thing. And as I was thinking about that, I wondered to myself how often the Lordship of Jesus Christ is visible in your life and in my life today. How often can those around us see the Lordship of Jesus Christ imprinted upon our lives? How often do our attitudes reflect the Lordship of Jesus Christ? How often do our words reflect the Lordship of Jesus Christ? How often do our actions reflect the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Paul's life revealed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see that these marks upon the life of Paul were consistent marks. For we see here that Paul says, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. He did not say, I did bear or I shall bear. Rather, he put it in the present tense, saying that today, in this very moment, in this very hour, the marks of Jesus Christ are upon my body. And that consistency went with him no matter where he went. And I don't think we would have to pause long to reflect upon that in our own lives today. Is there a consistency of Jesus' Lordship in our lives today? Is Jesus consistently Lord of my life? It is easy to call Him Lord as we gather here this evening at Park Street. But I wonder from Monday to Saturday when we are in our home, when we are in our workplace, when we are at school, I wonder if Jesus Christ is Lord there. A famous missionary once said this, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. That unless Jesus Christ is first in our lives consistently, He is not Lord at all of our lives. And Paul exemplified the fact that Jesus Christ was consistently Lord in his life. It altered everything about him. Thirdly, we see that the marks of Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus, were permanent upon Paul's life. They were permanent. When a slave was bought in that day and age, a mark was placed upon him. Perhaps very similar to what was placed upon the Jews by the Germans in World War II. And they were marks which could not be erased. They were marks which could not be taken away. They were permanent marks. And then lastly, they were marks which cost Paul something. Paul turned to the Galatians and said that I preach the cross of Jesus Christ. And because I do that, I am suffering for it. And indeed today, I believe that Jesus Christ is calling us also. He is calling us to have the marks of Jesus upon our lives. He is calling us not to have just external things that are transparent, that might come and go. But He is calling us to have permanent marks. He is calling us to have consistent marks. He is calling us to have visible marks, and He is calling us to have marks which will cost us something. And so Paul closed his letter by challenging the Galatian Christians to have the mark of Jesus upon his life, upon their life. I believe that we live in a time that is no different. Jesus Christ is looking for men and women today who reveal the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Working in a Chinese church these past 3 years has given me many opportunities to visit homes. Perhaps one of the greatest heartaches that I have in visiting families is as we gather around the table. And I suggest that we have a word of prayer for the meal. Suddenly the child will pipe up and say, Mom, Dad, we never do this when he's not around. And I try to pretend I do not hear, but I indeed hear. There are many today within the Church of Jesus Christ that need to once again stop to consider the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. How is Jesus affecting you today? Do you have the marks of Jesus upon your life? Or is it a case that you are depending upon these outward signs that Paul so readily sought to fight against? Do you have the marks of Jesus? Paul closed his letter to the Galatians with that thought, the marks of Jesus. May God help us indeed to have those marks of Jesus, the ownership of Jesus in our life. Will you bow in a word of prayer with me? Father, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, you call us to a new relationship with you. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, no longer can we depend upon our own efforts. No longer are we called to have the mark of the law upon us. But rather we are called to have the mark of Jesus. And Father, that mark is something which encompasses our entire life. It is something that should guide our entire life, our outlook, our behavior, our attitudes, our values. Father, I pray that Paul's closing words there, the mark of Jesus, would be the mark which each of us here reveal upon our lives. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.